The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. No war should rise against me. In this will I be comforted. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He inquired. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And yet put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will I be fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He heard his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease under the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm from. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. What a wonderful singing job this crowd did behind me. Isn't that a good looking crowd? Well, with the exception of a couple of guys. Didn't they do a great job, folks?
Yes.
And Karen, you did a wonderful thing on the song. And you girls on the piano and organ, and even the leader did a good job. That's where all is. Comes from the top. Thank you, and God bless you. And God bless you, Tyler. What a wonderful, wonderful staff. When the pastor's gone, they don't play, they just keep on working. Thank God for a good staff. Even the secretaries stay on the job most of the time. Most of the time. Well, it's good to be here today, isn't it? Oh my, open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about this morning in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. As you're finding your place in what is probably the most well-known chapter in the Bible, I will remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as the flower of grass. The flower fadeth, the grass withereth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And you know what? It's settled right here on earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a wonderful book. I'm going to read from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, after we pray. Our Father, we are indeed grateful that you have tuned in to us this morning. You promised you'd hear even before we call and answer while we're yet speaking. We come to thee in behalf of these people that are gathered in your house to worship today. And surely there must be among us some that have never trusted the Savior, who have never been born again. I pray that they would experience that today. For those who are heavy-hearted, bring relief. Those that are in darkness, bring light. Those that are lost, bring salvation. Those that are in trouble, bring a trouble-free environment. Those that need employment, give them a job. Bless our widows and widowers. Bless the little babies, the children. Every stage, every state of the population of this people today. And dear God, if it can be in your will, would you reduce the heat wave and send us some rain at your own time? You're in control. It all belongs to you. We ask for your will to be done in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. One night during the Napoleonic Wars, two men met for an extremely important conference. They met on a raft in the middle of a German river. The two men were the emperors of Russia and France. The outcome of that conference affected the lives of multiplied millions of people all over the world. It altered the course of human history. It virtually changed the map of Europe. Stay tuned, my friend. I want to tell you about another conference. 2,000 years before this conference that I just spoke to you about, two men met one night on a housetop in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus, the Son of God, and Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Their conference was far more important, far more reaching around the world and down through the ages than the conference by the two emperors. The conference between Jesus and Nicodemus shook the religious world from top to bottom. I have an idea that when Nicodemus approached Jesus and said, "We know you're a teacher from God," that Nicodemus expected some kind of a long theological discourse, but not so. Jesus came right to the point. You must be born again. This conference determined the destiny of many people. Listen, every time a soul is saved, from the time that Jesus and Nicodemus, and you could go beyond that, but from the time they met on that housetop that night in the city of Jerusalem, every soul that's ever been saved traces back to that valuable, important, far-reaching conference. When Jesus, I'm sure, surprised Nicodemus greatly, because Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he expected something far more than just a blank statement, "You must be born again." I'm happy to say today that the outcome of that conference is still determining the destiny of millions around the world. You know why? It made plain how a man could enter the kingdom of God. I've entitled this message, very simple, "I'm a simple person." Most of you are simple hearers. Hello. I thought that would wake some of you up. Hear me when I say it. Simplicity, a lesson that every man needs to learn. Are you ready? First of all, we consider the teacher. Who was the teacher? Not just any teacher. Verse 2 identifies him as a teacher come from God. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was indeed a teacher come from God. He was very God and very man. The God-man, the man-God, God the Son of God. Just as much God as though he had never become man, just as much man as though he had never been God. He was a master teacher. He knew his subject matter well. He knew his student well. He knew how to communicate his thoughts very effectively. He knew how to captivate his audience. I have an idea that Nicodemus stood there with his mouth open. I believe he was totally spellbound by what this master teacher had to say to him. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, the master teacher spoke in simple terms. He spoke plainly, clearly, convincingly, compellingly, and compassionately. He spoke the truth. He never spoke anything but the truth. He spoke with pathos in his heart and authority in his voice. He spoke as no other man spoke. John chapter 7 and verse 46 relates that for us. A group of the religious leaders sent some soldiers to arrest Jesus. They came back empty-handed. And when they came back empty-handed and the authorities asked them, "Why didn't you bring this man back?" You know what they said? John 7:46, they said, "Never a man spake like this man. We've never heard anything like it." And folks, I'm sure those soldiers had heard a lot of things. They had no doubt come from Rome, from somewhere where they had heard great speakers. They had heard the alley language, the street language. They had heard the professors. They had heard the educators, the philosophers. And yet they said about the Son of God, "Never a man spake like this man." Amen. I want you to know he did not mince words. He came straight to the point. He said to Nicodemus the first thing, first rattle out of the box, "You must be born again." We've considered the teacher, the master teacher, Jesus Christ, none like him. Now let's talk about the student for a moment. The student, Nicodemus, was not an ordinary man. He was a Pharisee. He was an Orthodox Jew. He was a student of the Old Testament. Jesus, later in the chapter, called him a master in Israel. You couldn't get any higher than that. A master in Israel, ruler of the Jews, a religious man, a righteous man, a reverend man, a reasonable man. Indeed, Nicodemus was a remarkable man. But Nicodemus was lost. 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 Whatever else he knew or had, he was lost. Nicodemus was blind and was blind to the fact that he was blind. Nicodemus was ignorant and ignorant of the fact that he was ignorant. Nicodemus, my friend, was lost and lost of the fact that he was lost. And hear me when I say it. You may have all the qualities that Nicodemus had. You may be a master in your race. You may be a ruler of your people. You may have reached the top rung of the social ladder or the corporate ladder. But listen to me. If you have not been born again, you are lost. Lost. Did you hear me? You are lost. Lost. And unless you let Jesus Christ become your Savior, unless you, my friend, trust Him to save your never dying soul, you will be lost forever. 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 Would you describe for us, preacher, how long forever is? Yes, I will. Forever is forever and ever and ever and ever. Forever lost without God, without hope in this life or in the life to come. You will spend eternity in hell. I know we've tried to air condition hell in many of the modern circles today. When's the last time any of us heard or preached a message on hell? Hell is hell. And hell is real. And could I tell you, there'll be no waitress there to serve you a cocktail. There'll be no one to bandage your burns or to cool your parching tongue. And there will be no fire escape because hell is eternal. It's forever. And forever, and forever, and forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. You may study geology and know all there is to know about the rocks, but unless you know the Rock of Ages, you'll never be saved. You may study botany and know all the plants, but you must know the Rose of Sharon before you can be saved. You may study zoology and be able to name all the animals, but you must know the Lamb of God in order to be saved. You may eat the best bread that's baked in the finest ovens all over the world, but you must eat the bread of life before you can be saved. You may have been treated by the world's most eminent doctors, but hear me, you must go to the great physician in order to be saved. You may own the finest jewels on earth, but you must possess the pearl of great price before you can be saved. You may have your name on every church rolled in on this continent or on all the other continents of the world, but unless your name is enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're lost forever and ever and ever and ever. You may sit at the feet of the world's greatest philosophers, but you must learn the lesson of the new birth from the master teacher in order to be saved. There is one God. Are you listening? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God without blemish and without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Could we now consider what the lesson really is all about? Briefly, listen. The one basic lesson that Nicodemus learned, and you must learn it, is this. Religion is not enough. Nobody was more religious than he was. Church membership is not sufficient. The waters of the baptismal pool will not wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his vein. There may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Hallelujah. The blood, the book, the blessed hope. There is no hope beyond and outside the blood of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was religious, but he was lost. Lost. Lost, ladies and gentlemen. L-O-S-T. Lost. You see, he needed more than religion. He needed regeneration. He needed more than a law. He needed life. He needed more than a teacher. He needed a Savior. And my friend, you need a Savior today. You need Jesus if you're still here without Him. The lesson that you need to learn is summed up in the words of Jesus. Just 5 words. You must be born again. What on earth does that mean? Nicodemus wanted to know the same thing. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus came right back with the only answer that he could possibly give. Except a man be born of water, that is the placenta, the water sac in the mother's womb, the physical birth. Unless you're born physically and then born spiritually, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Eternal life begins only after you have been born twice. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. My friend, hear me when I say it. If you want to be heaven bound, first of all, you've got to be heaven born. Born of the Spirit. Born of God. Born again. Except a man be baptized? No. Except a man shake the preacher? No, no, no. Except a man sign up for court? No. Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. John wrote, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it is called faithful and true. Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, because there was found no place for them. Now listen, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire. Fire. Real fire? Yes, real fire. Remember what Jesus said about the rich man in hell? He lifted up his eyes being in torments. Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair? Is your name written there? Let's stand quietly, please. Everyone standing. Heads about. I only wish I knew how to give an invitation. After 65 years in preaching, I still fall short. But I would just say to you, by the way, the altar is open. Invitation has already begun. I would say to you, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, maybe you have never understood or realized what it meant to be born again. Maybe you with Nicodemus have a lot going for you, but if you've never been born again, you're lost. Would you come and trust my Savior this morning? That's my invitation to you. Just come and trust the Savior. Are you here this morning? You have a prayer burden, have a heavy heart, some kind of a difficulty, some kind of a problem, a burden that maybe you have no idea what you're going to do about it. You may need a companion. You may need a job. You may need a car. You may need a house. I don't know what you need, but I know one thing: God can supply whatever it is. You have a prayer burden, I want you to step out of your seat right now. Don't wait till we sing. Don't wait till we pray. Just step out of your seat right now and find you a place. You want to get God's attention? Best place to get it is right here at an altar of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would speak to all of our hearts. And thou knowest every heart and every heartbeat of every person in this congregation. I don't know half of them. I don't know any of them by what they really need. I could surmise what some of them need, but thou knowest. So I pray that you'd meet every need of every person in this congregation today. In Jesus' name we ask you.